The resurrection of Jesus changed the world forever. Take it away and you leave the entire world without a gospel. The cross is the climax of Jesus' story, but it's ultimately meaningless without the resurrection. Today on Cross Connection, we will take a closer look at the resurrection of Jesus, the Messiah. Welcome to an interactive and live study of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. Cross Connection is about us studying together the Word of God. And we really enjoy when you leave your comments on our Facebook page and let us know how Cross Connection is affecting your life. You can always write to us at crossconnection@hopetv.org. Or you can join our discussion right now by simply picking up your phone and sending us a text. Send your text anytime during the discussion to 707-200-1075. And don't forget that you can join our discussion and our conversation on Facebook anytime. We want to connect with you. Sergio, I'm really excited about today's question. And what is it?
Well, Jesus is dead. And so many people think, even some professed Christians believe it. But how does the belief that he actually rose again transform our understanding of Him, of God, of us, of life itself? Today we want to hear your thoughts on the resurrection by asking you this question. What does the resurrection mean to you in your life? See you all later.
What does the resurrection mean to you in your life? Connect with us. Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ says, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." For Christians, the resurrection of Jesus constitutes the foundational stone of faith. Apart from the resurrection, there is no gospel, no good news. And forget about this program. If Jesus was not raised on that Sunday, then there is no hope but only despair. It was the resurrection of Jesus that turned fearful men into men of courage and confidence. After seeing the resurrected Jesus, the disciples were confident that all that Jesus said was true. They were assured that they will share this great victory of their Lord. And today we will take a closer look at the meaning of the resurrection for you and for us in today's world. And I'm glad because we are joined today by Jitesh, Jennifer, Elisa, and Marla. Okay, and it's going to be boys and girls fight. No. They're winning anyway. Okay. And this is amazing because the resurrection story is actually full of godly women. And we will talk about those. And I'm really excited and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Excited because I'm excited to have such a big company today. And I'm excited that you are joining us today as well. And get in touch with us. Sergio will be glad to read your comments.
Thrilled.
Absolutely. But I'm sad at the same time. And Sergio, why are we sad? Why are we sad?
It's our last show on Matthew, and it's our last show for the year.
It is sad.
That's really sad. Actually.
It is sad.
It is sad. Really sad.
We're about to read some good news, though, so it'll cheer us up.
Absolutely. But and this is amazing because we've spent almost a year. Yeah, a year actually, almost
full
a year.
Year.
Yeah, full year studying the gospel according to Matthew, and I have to admit, my understanding of the gospel has been changed.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
My understanding of Jesus has been changed.
Mm.
What about you, gentlemen?
Yes, definitely.
100%. Yeah, I mean, it's transformative. It's been such a journey. It's sad it's ending, but I'm excited for John, which is what we're studying.
Oh, wow, you revealed the secret.
Yeah.
What about you, ladies?
Spoiler alert.
I know that Marla is always watching Cross Connection because she's behind the camera, by the way. So tell us, how did the study of Matthew affected your life?
Well, it's always good to look at the life of Jesus and how it can be practically used in our daily experiences.
Wow, this is cool. So we would like to hear also from you how your life was affected by studying the Gospel according to Matthew, and how were you able to see Jesus through the lenses of Matthew?
Mm.
Okay, and today is our last chapter. We will be talking about Matthew chapter 28. And before we start, I would like Jitesh to say a prayer. Please pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, this time is all for you, Lord. It's all about you. Please fill our hearts and our minds and help us to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so first question. Do you know anyone who had been resurrected?
Personally?
Yeah.
No.
In today's world.
I think I'd remember, and I can't remember.
It's kind of a big thing.
I don't think so.
Okay. No. Do you know anyone who was ever virgin born?
I don't know.
Ringing any bells.
I might have used that, but.
Wow. Yeah. Because if you think about the first, if you think about any gospel, which is the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see that there is something amazing about the story of Jesus.
Mm. Yes.
There is two most amazing against any natural laws circumstances.
Yes.
First is the virgin birth.
Yes.
Right.
It doesn't seem to make any sense.
Yeah.
And the second one is the resurrection.
People attack it a lot, you know. It's a thing that's attacked all the time is a resurrection. A lot of people accept pretty much everything in the Gospels except for the miracles as historical fact. Mm-hmm. And then they toss out the resurrection. And, you know, they'll even kind of poke at you for how could you believe something so preposterous?
Yeah.
But really, like, come on, guy. I'm saying that this guy is God. You know, that's what the text is saying. Poke fun at that, attack that. But if he's God, if we're accepting that going in, then surely virgin birth and resurrection completely go in line with that. It's consistent with each other.
Well, this is great. And Sergio, this is a great start. And I would like also to challenge you because this is a perfect time for you actually to get to your phone and just text us, or you can leave your comment on Facebook. So today we will actually be talking about this another very unusual circumstances. Jesus was actually resurrected.
Yeah.
Last week we talked about the crucifixion and agitation. Jennifer, you were here. Mm-hmm. We talked about the crucifixion and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see what Matthew had to say about the resurrection. And let's start with Matthew chapter 28, verses 1. We'll be reading 1 through 10, actually. And I would like to ask Jennifer to read 5 verses and then Marla to read the next 5 verses.
28, 1 through 8?
Yes, 1 through 5 and then 5 through 10, Marla.
Okay. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guard shook for fear of him and became like dead men.
The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to get to Galilee. There they will see me."
Okay, so here is this story.
Uh-huh.
And who are the first? Okay, let me just ask, who were the first? Who were the last people who left Jesus' tomb in previous chapter? It's actually Matthew chapter 26, verse 61. Who were the last people?
Mary and the other Mary. Two Marys.
Yeah, two Marys.
Yeah.
Okay, and now another question. Who were the first people? So the last people to leave the tomb, Jesus' tomb. And who were the first people to be by the tomb?
The two Marys.
Oh, wow. And we have three ladies here. So what does it tell us about those two Marys?
Yeah. I think this is beautiful. I think they just had a lot of...
Yeah, wait a second. What about Peter?
You know, that's a good question. Jitesh, did you want to...
Well, I didn't want to get deep into it yet. I didn't want to hear what they had to say.
Yeah, what about those ladies? Yeah, sure. Why ladies?
So I think the thing that's beautiful about Mary is that she anointed Jesus' feet, you know, like way back at the dinner where mm-hmm. she was criticized for. And so now we see this level of love and devotion in her heart for her Savior, that she's at his tomb preparing his body for burial right before the Sabbath. And then after the Sabbath, she wants to do the job properly. So even though she knows that she can't roll away this huge, you know, 1 ton or however much the stone mm-hmm. weighed away from the grave and get in there, she's going to put forth some effort and go in faith to try to do this last service for Jesus.
Okay, what is there any encouragement for you ladies when you read this story and just, yes, the last were those ladies, Mary, two Marys, and first were also ladies? What does it tell you?
Just the level of devotion. And I mean, I feel like women have different gifts than, mm-hmm. than men, just generally speaking. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't have been devoted to, but that they have that nurturing attitude and... So I feel like that's the thing that comes out in the story. Yeah. I mean, not that the other disciples and that were men wouldn't have wanted to take care of him.
I think it took a lot of courage, too. I mean, I think devotion is great and wonderful, but when you think about the fact that the tomb was surrounded by Roman soldiers and that there was a seal on it saying that if anyone broke the seal, you were in violation of Roman law and there was death penalty and the disciples were hiding, I think mm-hmm. we see some courage and devotion. Mm.
And this is in the midst of their grief. I mean, they haven't realized that he's going to rise again. Yeah. Otherwise, they wouldn't be bringing embalming mm-hmm. foods to help mm-hmm. or like perfumes and things to help pretty him up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still wholeheartedly in love with Jesus.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And they must have been in shock, too, because, I mean, even just someone dying is enough shock, but they were around how he died, mm-hmm. which is extremely traumatic. So it seems like, I don't know, I wouldn't have been on it to get out of bed for a long time if I hadn't.
And this is a very important point, because actually when after Jesus was taken into the among soldiers and to this praetorium, we talked about Praetoria, when he was taken there, all the disciples, they fled.
Yes.
And only women were following him, and they were seeing him where he was placed and where he was. And during when he was actually dying, Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of James, in verse 56, previous chapter, chapter 26, I read, and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's sons, they were there. They were constantly seeing what was happening to Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other disciples, they were hiding. We have to admit it.
They were hiding. Yeah.
Guys, have to admit.
Courage.
We were mm-hmm. fearful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were fearful.
I'm struck by the emotion, too, that we're seeing here, because it's such a stark, it's a moving image to me. Mm-hmm. Think of them when they're just sitting across the tomb on that first night.
Mm-hmm.
And they must have sat there for hours, probably. They're just sitting there, staring at that tomb. Mm-hmm. And then they come back Sunday. And when they encounter that angel, verse 8 says that they have this mix of, this strange mix of fear and joy at the same time.
Great joy.
Yeah, fear and great joy. Great joy. So they're feeling all kinds of, so many emotions, and then they see Jesus. And then,
absolutely.
And wow, it is an amazing
picture. And Jitesh pointed out a very important point, actually, before the program.
Can we go deeper now?
We will go deeper right after the break. So Jitesh will start our next segment. So yeah, and I promise you will really enjoy this insight that Jitesh has to share with you. As we take a break, think about today's question and share your thoughts with us. What does the resurrection mean to you in your life? Send us your text anytime during the discussion to 707-200-1075, or you can join our ongoing conversation on Facebook anytime. Welcome back to Cross Connection. I'm just amazed with this, how fearless these ladies, or maybe they were fearful, but at the same time, they, despite anything, whatever they felt, they came to Jesus, mm-hmm. to the tomb of Jesus.
Yes.
To the tomb of Jesus, because they were filled with this desire mm-hmm. to be right close to it. And Sergio, you pointed out a very important point. No, we don't know how long they were sitting right, like by the tomb.
Yeah.
And they spent their Sabbath probably in synagogue or somewhere else, or crying with other disciples. But when the morning came, they were there immediately.
Yeah.
And Jitesh, this question is for you. What was the immediate reaction of the ladies when they saw Jesus, when they talked to Jesus, and then after he was resurrected?
After being shocked, I guess, or being thankful for seeing him, mm-hmm. the first thing they did was share the good news of that Jesus was alive, and they started to spread it to everyone around them.
Let's read how they did it in verse 7.
And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.
And then their immediate reaction in verse 8. So they went how?
Quickly.
Amen. So immediately.
They ran.
Quickly. They ran.
No delay.
And then look how they ran. And this is simply amazing. Mm-hmm. With fear mm-hmm. and great joy.
Great joy. Yeah.
What does it tell you about this significance? What is the significance of this?
Well, I'm going to go deeper.
Okay.
As I said before.
Go.
But the really important thing about the two women mm-hmm. is, first off, that they're women. So the first people that the Lord told after coming back that Jesus told were women. That's in itself a huge thing, because men were so powerful and they should be the most dominant ones, so on and so forth back then. So he's giving this power to women. Now let's look at both of the women's background, okay? Both Marys have very stained characters. So the Lord is not only choosing women, but he's choosing women that have had the worst of the worst backgrounds, where people do not even want to come in contact with them, okay? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, after doing some research, they were both non-Jewish. So now we're coming into another religion.
Okay, if we can probably we debate
wow.
at this
okay.
point.
This is what I researched, though, not
that's
my
related
own
on it.
Yeah. But it's good. No, this
yeah.
is good.
Yeah.
But at least this is very important. And if you have anything to add and maybe say that you maybe
oh, no.
disagree with
this,
it's fine.
It's
fine. Yeah, text
sorry, God. Sorry about that.
No. But but you're right about the most important thing. First of all, they were women.
Yeah.
It's true.
Mm. Yeah.
And God decided to send his angel to talk to them, and they were the first who proclaimed the gospel of good news.
Yes. Yeah.
And went.
And
see,
went.
After hearing, not
went.
Waiting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Went immediately.
How they were running back.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. No,
this is very important.
It is very important.
Yes.
And I just wanted to add, I think even before we get to that part, you know, mm-hmm. where they encounter the angel, I just think about in my own life, how when I encounter some obstacle or challenge mm-hmm. to doing what the Lord wants me to do, I have a couple of options. Mm-hmm. I can either go forward in faith, claiming the promises of God, or I can say, this is too much. And I'm just so impressed with the way that, you know, they knew that there was this stone. They knew that there was a Roman seal. They knew that there would be mm-hmm. thousands of guards that they couldn't beat up. Mm-hmm. But they claimed God's promises that, you know, he would make a way for them to get into that tomb and anoint the body of Jesus, so they went forward with courage and faith.
Yeah, mm. this is beautiful.
And
yes.
one thing to look back is that they didn't, you know, when the angel came to them, they didn't say, I'm not good enough to receive this message. They didn't look at their past, because
mm-hmm.
they knew who they were.
Amen.
They knew that they were a new person in Jesus, and that's all they focused on. So the message was to be spread, and I mean, I thought that's amazing, you know. I thought that was amazing, looking back.
It was transformative on a large scale, like you were saying, and on a small scale, because, I mean, what a huge weekend that was.
Yes.
Like, I don't think I'd be wanting to run anywhere
very true.
And shouting and telling people. I don't know what exactly they were doing, but to have that energy, obviously, it was divinely given to them, because mm-hmm. it was a very rough weekend.
Exactly.
I'm sure they didn't have that energy naturally.
Absolutely. Okay, and when they were running back, this is very interesting. How Matthew writes this is simply amazing. In verse 11, it says, and Elisa, if you could read for us verses 11 through verse 12.
Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers.
And continue.
And said, you are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.
Okay, and so immediately after this miracle happened, another miracle, the greatest miracle, the grand miracle, the miracle of miracles. It's because here he is. and the most meaningful miracle. And immediately after that, there is two groups of people. First group of people, Marys, who do what?
Tell people.
And there is another group of people who do what?
Cover it up.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So this is amazing because in this world, today's world, there is the same picture. The picture hasn't changed. Mm. There is two group of people. Mm-hmm. First group of people who say,
They tell.
And the second group of people?
Cover it up. Yeah.
What are the theories that talk about that resurrection didn't really happen? Do you know of any?
I was thinking about it just now. Okay. Thinking that if I were attacking this, it's got to be around right here that I've got to say, okay, here's where the fiction begins, right?
Okay.
Because we know Jesus died. We know he was crucified. It's recorded history. So here's where the fiction starts if you're attacking it. And then what happens? Clearly, if this is invented, there has to be a group effort. This is a conspiracy. And I enjoy the fractured nature here. It's the opposite of that you see here, the fractured nature of Jesus' disciples. You have the women here who are at the tomb. They're certainly much more faithful that they're at the tomb, and the disciples are running and hiding. Mm-hmm. You don't see a cohesive unit here, a group that would make this up. Like they're tight. And certainly at the time, you wouldn't make women your co-conspirators in your lie. That's not something that would happen back there. Jesus chooses them. The disciples didn't choose them. They're way over here, away from them. So that's something that is an interesting thing to me that, you know, helps further support the text and what it's having to say.
I never thought of it that way, but it's true. The whole situation is kind of ludicrous. Like, you know, you would never think of saying that they're disoriented. They're not. I mean, they're all over the place. They're hiding. I mean, it just doesn't make sense if they were really trying to create some story. Mm-hmm. It would not have happened that way.
If you're going to write a story, it should be good, and believable, not completely crazy.
Yeah.
To the point where how are you going to believe it?
Well,
another aspect is all of the guards. They're telling, like, the priests have convinced them to hide this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they're guards. This is their job, and they failed.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They have to be really convinced. Like, you wouldn't lie for something that big unless the stakes were high.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. This is a very important point because we actually know about another story. It's recorded in Acts chapter 16 where Paul actually was in prison, and then angel set him free. Mm-hmm. And when he's on the way out, he sees another, the one who was a guard there, and he is ready to kill himself.
Yeah. Mm.
That guard is ready to kill himself because apparently he fell asleep or something of that nature, and somebody is leaving the jail or the prison, and it means that he will be put to death anyway.
Right.
You might as well just kill yourself, because this is how it works.
A very big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And here, like, it doesn't make any sense if those people, they offer money for what? For your, like, you will not be able to survive, because if you fell asleep on the post.
Yeah.
But when you also look at the fact of who is aligned against a small group, the small courageous group. I mean, you have like the government, you have the religious leaders, every powerful person in that society is on, for the most part, is on the wrong side of the story. And how much courage, you know, we can pick at the disciples a little bit, but, you know, if we were in their situation, it would be very easy to hide.
Yes.
Because the whole government and the whole religious establishment is against what you're saying.
This is great. And there is another support that is extremely, like, my favorite support, actually. It's recorded, actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, we can just read 1 and 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians. And Sergio, if you could read for us, yes.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
Yeah, and if you continue to verse 8.
To verse 8, okay. Yes. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time.
So, and this is what Paul writes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he doesn't mention women, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But apparently it was a part of his culture, so we will forgive him for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we know for sure that women were the first who saw Jesus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And many others, mm-hmm. yeah. more than 500 people.
Yeah, it's important to know, because I think there are people out there that might be feeling a little bit insecure in their faith of whether, because mm-hmm. the idea of someone coming back from the dead, I mean, come on. But you, early on, we have historical evidence. There are actual names given. Mm-hmm. James saw him. All these other yes. people saw him, that if they hadn't seen him, they would have said, no, I didn't. And that stops it right there. You know, especially in an age of oral tradition.
Oh, yeah.
You say, no, I didn't. He's lying. Yes. It stops right there. The story ends there. It's done.
And it is also important to understand why actually physical mm-hmm. resurrection is important. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people say, you know what, maybe Jesus didn't resurrect physically, but he resurrected in their hearts. Mm-hmm. That's all. Do you buy that?
He went up to heaven immediately, or, you know.
Or something of nature. Do you buy that?
Sure. No, okay. I don't think so.
Okay, we will find out what Jennifer thinks about it after the break. So don't go anywhere. No, we will continue our discussion, and we will see how amazingly beautiful the story of resurrection can change our lives today. Mm. And don't forget to share your thoughts about today's question. What does the resurrection mean to you in your life, everyday life? We're looking forward to your comments. Let us know what you think, and your comment will be read here in the studio. You can post your thoughts on Facebook or by texting to 707-200-1075. I know this number. Welcome back to Cross Connection. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire.
Absolutely.
And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself and share your comments, share your thoughts on Facebook or call us, text us. Oh, text us, I mean. Text us.
Text us.
The perfect
yes.
way to do it.
Yeah.
But the story is simply amazing. And I'm excited because we will dive deeper and we will try to understand how practically we can apply it into our lives. And what does it mean mm-hmm. that Jesus was resurrected 2,000 years ago, and how does it affect my life today? Mm. But before that, Marla, you had a very important point during the break. They should record our breaks as well, because some good stuff is coming from breaks.
Well, when Jesus was on the cross, he's talking up there, and he's like, Father, forgive them, for mm-hmm. they know not what they do. And then here, we're looking at the verse, and the soldiers are coming to the high priest. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, look, he's gone. This is the moment when the high priests realize what they've done. Mm-hmm. They've crucified the Messiah, the one that the whole Jewish culture has been waiting for. And so what are they going to do? Are they going to acknowledge what they've done, mm-hmm. or are they going to save their pride? And they try to save their pride.
Marla, this is simply epiphany.
Yes.
No, this yeah, simply sure. is. I wonder now, if those people who actually crucified God, mm-hmm. they could say, you know what, please forgive us. Let's try to find the Jesus who was resurrected. Let's try to find him and just worship him and say, please forgive us. Yeah. We didn't know what we were doing. Mm.
Isn't that
I
incredible?
Wonder yeah. how the world would have been yeah. changed.
Right.
Yeah. Marla, thank you very much. Wow. No, this brings us to another topic. Mm-hmm. If those people, they were not probably able to acknowledge what they've done. Mm-hmm. What about us today? Mm-hmm. Are we able? Because when Jesus was dying, he says, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. He was not talking about only those people. Mm-hmm. He was talking about people. He was talking about me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was talking about all against yeah. the age.
And, yeah. and that's where it gets really deep and how we can apply it. Because listening to you, now we have a choice. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be like Mary, the two Marys, or are we going to be like the soldiers? And that basically is good and evil. It's basically the of the two. What are you going to do? So Jesus is resurrected. Same in your life. If you see Jesus in your life, what are you doing? Are your eyes open to see all the blessings that are around you? Mm-hmm. Or are we running and hiding and saying, no, I don't believe in this, and trying to cover it up? Or are we preaching yeah. it to other people?
And there is only two options.
Yes.
Okay, let's see, Sergio, do we have comments? Let's see what people have to say about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, I want to start with a comment from Kevin, because okay. Kevin has been sending in comments the last few weeks for our show, and they've been really a blessing to me. They've added to our conversations and our discussions also. I want to thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
Because
thank you, Kevin.
He has great comments always. So I'm going to read a comment from Kevin. It says, the resurrection is the cornerstone of my faith.
Amen.
Exclamation
mark.
We serve a risen Savior. Death and the grave are defeated, and we have the most awesome hope. Cross Connection has become such a huge part of my study and devotional life. I will miss you all the next few weeks. Can't wait till the new study starts.
Whoa.
Thanks, Kevin.
Amen.
We're going to miss
awesome.
You, too. Thank you.
I'm ready to cry. We know that at least one person is watching us. No. Please join our discussion. We really want to hear how Cross Connection is affecting your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, this is beautiful. I mean, the resurrection part is beautiful. No, this is great. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So I wanted to have our first comment be from Kevin because I recognize Kevin. Kevin has had some really good comments.
Excellent. Excellent. So let's talk about this practical application of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in my life today, in my everyday life.
Well, I think it takes faith. It takes faith, you know. Mm-hmm. So it takes faith to believe in the resurrection, right? But then if you do have faith, you still have some choices to make because the choice to follow Jesus, you know, it could. You know, in the short term, there can be hardship and challenges, or, you know, you cannot follow Jesus. And at the time, the, you know, the religious officials and the government leaders who did not choose to follow Jesus were able to maintain their positions of power. Mm-hmm. So there was a choice between, you know, doing something for a spiritual benefit and then doing something for an earthly benefit.
Yes,
and the verses don't tell us if these women with shady backgrounds have fixed those backgrounds. Mm-hmm. It's not addressed at all. They just take what they know and they run with it.
Mm. Beautiful. Mm. Beautiful. Do we have any...
You know, actually, I want to jump off a comment that Fanny on Facebook made a comment that intrigues me. Mm-hmm. So I want to jump on that next. She says, by means of resurrection of Jesus, my salvation is insured. I think it's an interesting comment because when you think of the resurrection versus the cross, if Jesus hadn't resurrected, if he had just died and stayed dead, would my salvation still be assured? You know, when you think about the sacrifices made, and was that enough, or do we need the resurrection to complete the sacrifice?
What do you think?
Of course.
Well, it says the wages of sin is death, and if you know, when we commit sin, you know, the end result is death, and if Jesus, being sinless, couldn't conquer that, like, because of other people's sins being laid on him, even though it wasn't him sinning, he still took those sins in a very real way. And he couldn't overcome the natural death that comes from it. It means it was all, like, he's not our Savior. Yeah. He wouldn't be our Savior.
Yes.
So he conquered the grave.
Yeah. Yes.
He conquered those sins.
Yeah.
He conquered everything. And I really enjoyed the comment that also was shared here. You're absolutely right, because it seems like two kingdoms are fighting now.
Sure.
The kingdom of this world,
where
you have to hide your whatever pride, or like what you were, Marla was just sharing with us. Mm-hmm. Pride, I want to accept the other kingdom because I prefer to live in my kingdom. Mm-hmm. Or you can choose another kingdom. Mm-hmm. In that kingdom, everything is upside down, according to our perspective, but it's not, because this is what reality is.
Yeah.
So choose that reality where dead become alive, where virgin birth is possible, where lame can walk, and blind can see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Choose the kingdom that you want to be in.
And even with looking at the story where there are parts where people are like, well, I believe this part of the story, but I don't believe the resurrection. Mm-hmm. I just think if you accept the Bible as God's, you know, word, his inspired word, I don't know if you can accept pieces of it. You know, it's an entire revelation from God.
Mm. Great. This is great. Okay, this is simply excellent.
Well, one thing I wanted to add was with the resurrection for people who leave that part out, why would they go through so much trouble to cover it up if it was something that's not a big deal? Why why are they covering up or trying to come up with this big conspiracy over the fact that, no, this never happened?
Yeah. You know,
it had to have been something that substantial that they had to come up with something like that.
This is excellent. Mm, yeah. And that leads us to another, which is continuation of our discussion, and the end, actually, the conclusion of our discussion, unfortunately. Mm. And thank you, Kevin, for watching us. So this is actually cool, because this last part is simply outstanding. And we could spend another few hours talking about just this last part, but we will not, unfortunately. And let's read these verses, verse 16 through 20. And Sergio, if you could read for us.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
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 Amen. No, this passage is simply amazingly
it's
really beautiful.
Great. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, beautiful. Let's just leave it at that, right?
I know,
what
right?
can I say
you can
about that?
Yes, but we need to say a few words about it. We need to, because first of all, we see that the 11 disciples they come to Jesus and they uh-huh. what do they do? What was their reaction? Some of them, at
least. Doubted. Some worship, some oh, doubted.
What Jennifer said it right, and Jitesh said it right too.
Oh,
hey. So what did you say, Jennifer?
Some worshipped
and some
doubted.
It doesn't make sense, does it? What I don't know.
Is that an allusion to what John goes into more detail on, which is Thomas?
Thomas.
Is that is
unless
that,
I see this?
Unless I see pierced, you, your pierced side and, mm-hmm. and the you know the pierced hands, then I'm not going to believe. Is that what that's an allusion to?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, I don't know. Maybe somebody knows why they doubted. Mm-hmm. Maybe they doubted because can we as righteous Jews mm-hmm. worship somebody who is not God? Because Jews they have just one God, and it seems like Jesus. How can we worship Jesus? I don't know. Maybe that. Mm-hmm. Maybe the other thing. How can this Jesus be alive? We saw him dying on the cross, or we heard about him dying. We don't know. And we don't know why they doubted.
Yeah.
If you know, please say.
Well, I didn't understand. I mean, I feel like you're going to just be skeptical of things that are so beyond your grasp. Mm-hmm. You know, just from your own. I mean, even if it's more kind of doubting yourself than actually doubting the thing that happened.
You're right. Sure. We don't know why they doubted, but it gives me great hope because sometimes I doubt.
Yeah.
Sure. Even like look at John the Baptist, for instance. Sometimes mm-hmm. hardship can make you doubt. I mean, when John, after seeing all of Jesus' miracles, sent his disciples after he was, you know, mm-hmm. in prison, mm-hmm. said, you know, "Are you the Messiah or should we look for another?" And Jesus said, "If you hold on to your faith,
yes,
you know, then you will be with me." But it was that hardship. And I think they were facing similar hardships and challenges with the government being after going after all of the followers of Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But despite that, Jesus said that finally he says, it's fine to doubt. Because even if you're one of those 11 and if you doubt, it's okay. Because ultimately you worship him anyway.
Yes.
And after this short break, we will jump to your comments on Facebook and through our text messages. So now is the perfect time to go online, even though we don't like breaks, but this is the perfect time for you to actually text us and answer our question. What does the resurrection mean to you in your life, everyday life? We also want to hear from you through text at 707-200-1075. And we will be back in studio to continue our discussion after this break. Welcome back to Cross Connection. If you want to join our discussion, now is the perfect time. Do it as fast as you can. We have only 11 minutes left. All authority has been given to Jesus.
Yes. Mm.
And this is simply amazing news because there was another story in Matthew chapter 4 we read about it when Satan approached Jesus and he said, "I want to give you all authority on earth.
Yeah.
You just do what?
Worship me.
Worship me."
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So Jesus could have chosen that part.
Mm-hmm.
And just, but how much more different our world would have been.
Yeah, he chose the hard route for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the route that makes all the difference for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because when he was enthroned on the cross, mm-hmm. only then all authority has been given to him, not only on earth, because Satan probably could give him authority on earth. Mm-hmm. But this is another authority.
But it comes down to the fact of when you really love someone, mm-hmm. are you going to give them something that's like, you know, a compromise? Or are you going to go all the way and make sure that they're safe and that they're happy?
This is
all the way.
Yeah. This is great.
That shows the real love of Jesus for us.
And that is why Jesus says, "Go therefore, because all, and I'm with you always. And my authority is with you." Yes. Yeah. So, Sergio, what comments do we have?
Well, I'll jump in with some comments. Joan on Facebook has a great comment. She says, And again, our question is, what does the resurrection mean to you in your life? And she says, we can rise above evil, death, sin, to a new life in Christ, become a complete new creation in Him. The old passes away. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I like that. You know, it's something awesome. That we haven't talked about that much. If our dead Savior can be raised up, what can God do to me who's my heart's still beating? How much more can He do in my life to transform me and make me new? I love what Joan has to say.
We didn't talk about it because we knew that you were going to. Thank you very much. This is beautiful.
It reminds me of baptism. You know how people talk about the baptism. We take Christ's example.
Yes.
Go under the water and die and then be raised again. Like, because, you know, like five of my close friends, today is their rebirth day or whatever they call it. And it reminds me of that, how we take that example, but we can't rise to new life if Jesus hadn't risen to new life.
This is amazing, because after Jesus says that all authority has been given to me, He says, you go therefore and do what? Make disciples of all nations by what? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and then also teaching them, and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then verse 20, teaching them. So it's making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them.
Yeah, and I'm going to be pushy and jump in here again, but I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for our viewers.
Absolutely, and we would love to hear what you have to say. Please do it as well.
Yeah, because Pam has a comment that is great. She texted us, and one thing we haven't talked about too, is all of us here have lost people that we love. And the notion of what it means for even death itself to be overcome. And she says, to me, resurrection means life now and forever. I'll see those I can't at this time. I'll be able to worship Jesus Christ all the time.
Wow. Amen.
Thank you, Pam.
Thanks,
Pam. This is beautiful.
Really
wow. Wow. If you have any comments, please jump in and just write to us. No, this is, it enhances our conversation tremendously. So if we see this story, Jesus, the story of Jesus' resurrection, then He's given all this authority, all this power, and He tells us, you go therefore.
Well, He's taken off the performance pressure. It's not like I have to be perfect and save myself and die on the cross. No, that's taken care of. All I have to do is tell other people about what He's done for me. And that's it.
That's such a great point, because when you look at what the resurrection meant then, it was their proof. It's what converted the disciples. The disciples, they bailed. They ran. They lost it all. It's what converted them. Right now, we don't have video footage of Jesus coming back to life. It means something different to us. What is significant to us is what Marla alluded to, the fact that He says, I am going to be with you always.
Absolutely.
If someone comes and questions me and says, no, what you believe is nonsense, your God isn't resurrected, that makes no sense what you're talking about, I can say it makes perfect sense, not because I'm proving it through this text, but because I have felt God with me in my life. I know that He's been with me. I know that He's living in my life. And that's why it's so easy for me to believe.
No, amen. This is simply great.
That's powerful.
Because in the beginning of the same gospel, according to Matthew, when Joseph was seeing the angel came to him and he said, his name will be Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
And at the very end of the same book, he says, now this is what it means, God with us.
God with us. Yeah.
Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was given all authority. Jesus encouraged us to go and make disciples and baptize people and preach and teach.
Amen.
Because we are transformed. And if you are not, repent.
It's given twice. You know, it's like you value. Jesus was taken away and then He rose again. I don't know. It just seems really powerful to me to get it twice.
Yeah. Sergio, we have only a few minutes left.
Oh, man. Wow. Please, look at that.
So we need to read our comments.
I want to read another comment. This is our last show for the year. So I want to start giving some shout outs to our viewers.
Absolutely.
And Melissa is another one who has given comments every show. Every single time she says something that it really means a lot to me and to our discussion.
Absolutely.
So I want to read something that Melissa had to say on Facebook. She says, to me, it means to die to yourself in order to have salvation, just as Christ shows us here in His resurrection. In order for us to get into the kingdom of heaven, I thank God for this huge sacrifice of love that He shows us through His Son. what am I going to do the next few weeks without my new Cross Connection friends? Thanks for all the great Bible studies. I hope you all have an excellent and blessed New Year's. Thank you, Sergio. I didn't know this was here. Thank you, Sergio, especially for always reading and sharing my thoughts on the show. See you all soon. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you very much. We are very encouraged.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is simply amazing. And Melissa pointed very beautifully because she said, this is great because Thomas, when Jesus was resurrected, first of all, he said, I want to see his holes.
Yeah, the holes in his hands.
The holes in his hands. And that is why people today, they also want to see the holes in Jesus' hands.
Right,
they want
to
be real.
Yeah.
And unless we are crucified with Jesus Christ, just as Paul said, I am being crucified with Christ. And it's not me who live anymore, but Jesus, who was raised, lives in me.
Yes.
We cannot make disciples. We cannot baptize. We cannot teach.
Yep.
That is so true. That's so powerful.
Okay. We have only 4 minutes left, so we need to share what we learned. And we have only 20 seconds each, and then we have about a minute for our viewers and maybe more. So please...
Can I jump in for our viewers right now?
No, we will devote all our time to our viewers first.
Okay.
Yes.
Orchidea is another guy who sends comments who we recognize. We want to thank for being a part of our discussion and adding. He says, in my life, the resurrection of Christ gives me hope. Because of the resurrection, we all have the opportunity to receive eternal life. Mm-hmm. It also shows the power of God. I'm thinking that back in the days of Jesus when criminals were crucified, it was so brutal that the people who saw Jesus die through that thought that surely he was dead. I sometimes think that the disciples forgot about what Jesus had said earlier about him rising in 3 days because they knew how brutal the cross was. But thankfully, God overcame the grave, and this gives me hope for the future. Because of the resurrection of Christ, when he returns, the dead in Christ will be resurrected also, and we can live eternally.
This is great.
Yeah. He adds also, he says, thanks, Cross Connection. This Bible study has really helped me in my Christian walk.
You know what we need to do? We need to publish a book of all the comments of our viewers.
Yeah,
and trust me, we will be back next year. And during the season's greetings period, what viewers will be able
That's
to
right.
see.
That's right. We'll actually still, we'll be here next week.
Okay.
It won't be live, but we're putting together some really great holiday programs that are going to air next week called Cross Connection Season's Greetings.
So Cross Connection Season's Greetings was filmed especially for you, so please join us next week as well. We don't go anywhere. Okay, yeah. Other comments?
Oh, yeah. No, I want to hear from the group,
so
too.
We have only 2 minutes left now. So what did you learn and how this study will affect your life from now on? And Marley, yeah, please.
Well, the stuff that's happening here is entirely vital. I mean, without Jesus' resurrection, none of it's true. And this is important because the ultimate reunion in heaven would not be able to happen if this didn't happen.
Mm.
And we have to tell people because one less person.
Mm, yeah.
Great.
Wow.
Great, yeah. Awesome. Elisa, what did you learn?
Well, just the power of God's words. I mean, he was able to speak bring the worlds into existence and speak the dead to life and the healed to health again. Mm-hmm. And just to experience that power in my own life, I'm just inspired.
Beautiful, beautiful. Jennifer, what did you learn today?
So we've just been studying the whole book of Matthew about how Jesus is just like the most wonderful, kindest person in the world and healing all the sick and the lepers. And so when he gets to the part where he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth, it just makes me happy. Who better to have authority than Jesus?
What a great point.
You know?
What a great point.
Satish, what did you learn?
Actually, I was going to say what Jennifer said was all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Notice that he added and. The reason is because he fought for us. He loved us so much that he had to die to get the earth part in there, that I have this authority over you now too, and I'm going to protect you all.
Beautiful. Sergio, we have only 30 seconds left and you left, and you know what it means.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to waste it with my stupid words. I want to jump in with a comment, a text that we got from Jose that says, the resurrection makes me feel happy because it shows us that even through all of that suffering that Christ went through, he still won in the end. Amen. Revelation 1:8, the beginning and the end. P.S., you guys have done an awesome job. Thank you, Jose.
Praise God. It makes us happy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us today. And thank you, Marla. Thank you, Elisa. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jitesh.
We'll miss you guys.
Yeah.
We'll miss you. We'll miss you. Yes, we'll miss you. But we will be back next week, and we will be back very soon. Okay. Thanks for still being with us. Today's discussion reminded me of a story that happened in one of the Russian towns during the time of the Soviet regime. In the Orthodox tradition, people greet each other during Easter with the words, "Christ is risen." "Truly, he is risen," they reply. Or, "Christ is risen," and the response is, "Indeed, he is risen." But during the Soviet period, the main goal of the state was to destroy any faith. In fact, arguments against the existence of Jesus were included in school and university textbooks. So, one atheist went to one of the small towns during Easter time. His goal was to present atheistic arguments against the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After the lecture, everyone was silent. He asked if anyone had any questions. Then one hand was raised at the very back. It was an older man. The atheist asked him to go to the stage, hoping to demonstrate how any argument will be defeated. This man, old man, slowly walked to the stage. Then he stepped on the stage, turned around, and said to the audience, "Christ is risen." And everyone in the audience responded, "Truly, he is risen." That older man's argument was much stronger than all the arguments of the atheist scientists, apparently. So today, I would like to encourage you to not only know the resurrection story, but experience it in your life. Have you ever read the resurrection stories and said, "Praise God, because Christ has risen, I am born again"? I know I haven't, but I hope we realize today what it means to know that our Redeemer lives. The empty tomb gives me hope, and I pray it does the same for you. The same God who raised Christ from the grave has also raised us from spiritual death to spiritual life. And if you accept the message of that empty tomb, you will also live fully. Until next time, stay connected with Jesus in your everyday life and also on Cross Connection.